Consultation, 800-292-7875. 800-292-7875. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. 800-292-7875.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Congressman Kwesi Mfume has introduced a pair of bills to commemorate the life and legacy of African-American mess attendant Doris Story Miller. During the attack on Pearl Harbor, Miller manned an anti-aircraft gun and downed enemy planes, despite the fact that the racially segregated stewards branch of the Navy was not trained to use anti-aircraft guns. Mfume's bills seek to award the Medal of Honor and a Congressional Gold Medal to mess attendant Miller so he can finally be recognized with an American salute that is long overdue. 25-year-old man remains in critical condition after he was shot in the head near Pimlico Elementary School on Tuesday afternoon. The school was placed on lockdown as police investigated the shooting, and students were dismissed without incident after the lockdown was lifted. Police are asking anyone with information to call. Stein on sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barrowy at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barrowy now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Is your wear and carry permit about to expire? Don't wait until it's too late. At Free State Gun Range, we offer initial and renewal courses to keep you prepared and protected. Our certification is valid for 2 years, so you can be confident you're up to date and ready to go. Whether you're renewing or starting fresh, our expert instructors provide hands-on, top-notch training. Lock in your training now before prices go up. Secure your spot today. Your safety depends on it. Call Free State Gun Range now.
Rapid Radio's our instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Rosters need to be finalized by 12 noon today as the Orioles make final preparations for the 2025 baseball season. Opener tomorrow at 3 o'clock in Toronto. It'll be Zach Eflin for Baltimore, Jose Berrios for the Jays. Ravens made a move yesterday, agreeing to terms on a one-year deal with veteran cornerback Chidobe Awuzie. Baltimore filling the slot left when Brandon Stevens opted to sign with the Jets. Awuzie entering his ninth NFL season. Other NFL news, Russell Wilson now a Giant, and former Terp Stephon Diggs now a Patriot. On the ice last night in Winnipeg, the Caps did not get the desired result, but Alex Ovechkin's chase continued.
Van Riemsdyk is still up in the play, lost his hockey stick. Nice pass, Ovechkin, yeah. Scores! Alex Ovechkin, 889, Washington 2-all.
Joe Beninati with the call on Monumental. Ovi's goal ties it with 4 minutes to play. The Jets beat the Caps in OT 3-2. Ovi now just six away. Coming up in 30 minutes, Mike Loxley responds to Kevin Willard. And that is Stein on Sports.
WCBM listeners, hi, it's Jim with Wallace Roofing. Wallace Roofing's been protecting Maryland homes for over 90 years. That's three generations of getting the job done right. No shortcuts, no sales gimmicks, just honest work and quality workmanship. At Wallace Roofing, we answer our phones. A real human will answer the phone and answer your questions. 410-655-3700, 410-655-3700. Above all, a good roof.
At 11:06, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Some fine spring temperatures today through the rest of the week. Sunny, 54 today. Tomorrow, 60 the high. Friday's warmer. A shower or two, 66 the high Friday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 48 degrees in Bel Air, 51 in Halethorpe, and 48 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Wednesday, and it is March 26th, which makes it the one-year anniversary of the collapse at the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And we are discussing that, and everybody is weighing in. I appreciate you weighing in. If you want to weigh in, you can. It's 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I'm going to ask you, if you're just joining us, where the heck have you been? We've had so many people weighing in on whether or not they believe 4 years is just too much or just enough time to erect the new Francis Scott Key Bridge. You know what? We don't even know if it's going to be called the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Because while elected officials didn't care about doing the assessment, they did care about renaming the bridge. Right? Because, you know, racism comes before all that, right? I mean, it's just, it's so wild. It really is so wild. All right. Oh, we should call the bridge Johnny O Bridge. Yeah, he would love that. He would absolutely love that for no reason whatsoever. Neither his father or himself deserve anything named after them. We are going to get into that, though. Excuse me. We are going to get to the phone lines because so many people have been waiting very patiently. I've got Karen in Pasadena. Karen, you wanted to weigh in?
Yes, I did. I wanted to weigh in about everybody that has thrown the idea of a ferry out there. And I just wanted to dispel some myths here with a ferry. Number one, the any commercial vehicle truck driver can only drive 11 hours, period. No matter what you're doing on a ferry, on a bridge, whatever, it's 11 hours, okay? And then you have to be off for 10 hours. So a ferry, any ferry that you look up, you have to be there at least an hour before boarding time. And it takes an hour to load. That's why you need to be an hour before boarding time. It takes an hour to unload. And then however long the ferry takes to cross the body of water. In this case, it's only 2 miles. Up in Michigan, the SS Badger is 410 feet long. And it goes 60 miles. That may make some amount of sense to ferry vehicles across because I can't imagine how far it would be to go around something that's a straight shot of 60 miles. But you're talking about 2.5 hours just dealing with a ferry, and that's best case scenario, right? So you're taking that off of their 11-hour day. So any company would never, ever send commercial vehicles across our body of water that's only 2 miles. They're going to send them around the Beltway every single time, regardless of the gas costs, regardless of anything else. It just doesn't make any sense at all.
Okay.
So just throwing that out there. People just don't know the logistics behind it. And, you know, our officials aren't stupid when they say that we're not doing a ferry. Ferry makes no sense.
Okay. So you're saying regardless, even if if something was shut down on the highway, it still makes more sense for trucks to drive than just sit in traffic.
Yeah, just sit there and wait it out. I mean, they have an alternative route, right? The trucks can go through the tunnels, except for hazardous materials they have to go around. But it doesn't take 2.5 hours to go around the Beltway. It doesn't require a reservation. It doesn't mean that if you're held up offloading some material at one company and now you're heading to another company and you're held up, you've missed your ferry. I mean, there's too many things up in the air, plus that 2.5 hour time frame of the hour loading, hour unloading, and however long it takes to cross is going to be deducted from their hours of service, which is a maximum of 11 for safety. Drivers that drive have to find a place to pull over for 10 hours once they reach that 11th hour of driving. So no company is going to let their drivers basically sit for an hour to wait for a ferry, go across a body of water, and then do an hour of unloading when they could get around that beltway probably in every worst case scenario in 45 minutes.
Okay.
So it's not viable. It's not a viable alternative at all.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Karen, because you seem like you're very knowledgeable and I appreciate you calling in. If you, if somebody could possibly lift the restriction of only having 11 hours on the road for those that take the ferry, do you think that's a possibility or is just still not worth it?
That restriction is so hard and fast. It's a federal government requirement and
gotcha.
It's based on safety. It's based on safety data. the driver is not going to be allowed to be in his vehicle sleeping. When drivers, say a driver shows up to JCPenney and he's not even working, he's sitting in his truck and you say you have people unloading the truck for him for whatever was being delivered to JCPenney, those hours still count. They count. And,
wow.
I mean, it's a past regulation. You wouldn't want to start messing with these regulations. There's too many iffiness in there. That's why when you drive on the down 70 and you see truck stops or rest areas, you've got trucks outside of the rest area on 70 on the side of the road parked because they're out of hours. When they're out of hours, that truck stops. And all those trucks are monitored. They all have onboard monitoring systems in them that are all that data is turned over. There's heavy, stiff fines associated with it. People lose their jobs. It's not a viable alternative.
Well, Karen,
it's 2 miles across. The ferry that's up there in Michigan that goes 60 miles across is 410 feet long to be able to fit tractor trailers on. You're talking about maneuvering a 410-foot vessel around amongst the ships that are already coming in and out, and the channel is, you're going to go perpendicular to the channel, straight across it. I mean, there's so many factors that it's off the table. It's always been off the table.
Well, Karen, I appreciate you weighing in, and we've learned so much today from you. Thank you so much for calling.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. And so this is why radio is so great. All right. This is what Rush Limbaugh loved. Okay. I mean, you never know who you're going to talk to. I've got Mike in Middle River. Mike, you wanted to weigh in on the Key Bridge and some innovative ideas?
Yeah. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Morning.
All right. Hey, Kim, while I personally am not affected with it, my daughter is, her 8-hour day turns into at least 10, pushing 11 hours a day because of the traffic. Well, I want to get your thoughts on what would you think if the governor gave businesses a tax credit for their employees that have to travel across the pond either direction and allow them to work home until this bridge is erected, and the employers received a benefit, obviously the workers received the benefit, and then once it's up in the air, everyone goes back, tax credits go away, everything's back to normal. But that would leave a lot of traffic on the road.
Interesting. So does your daughter, excuse me for asking, but does your daughter have a job where she can do it remotely?
Possibly.
Okay.
She works for one of the three-letter agencies.
Okay.
And I'm not sure of the security that would entail of her being able to work from home. But I'm sure there are lots of people that do have the opportunity to work from home. And I know we're in a big back-to-work push.
Yeah.
And I agree with it. However, in Maryland, in this situation where there's so much chaos on the road every day, traveling, to get and back home from work, I would think that would at least be appetizing to some employers to say, "I'll take that tax break. I'll let these guys work from home, and I'll receive a benefit, and it's a win for everyone. It's a win for the people that can't work from home because now they don't have so much to deal with."
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think they're giving out any tax breaks here in Maryland. But that is an idea for sure.
And I thought that the first day, my daughter's first day of work was actually the day the bridge went down.
Oh, gosh.
And she actually said, how do I get to work now? Because
right.
That was the route she planned on taking.
Right.
Something of that sort to benefit employers and employees and people, who just travel that road, maybe just for other reasons than work, just have to travel that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is one of the concerns, I think, of the federal workers, because we have one friend that works for the federal government. I believe her name is Carol. She's called in, and she said that traffic is a nightmare. I mean, look, traffic is a nightmare. That's not a joke there. That's reality. But I guess if you did that for the businesses, I'm sure a lot of federal workers would say, "Hey, what about us too?" So that it would take us back a few years as far as putting the push as President Trump is trying to do. But maybe it is an idea. Maybe we do cut more people a break when it comes to remote working.
you know, at least just in Maryland. And Kim, I always say if every detail has to first be worked out before something happens, nothing would ever get accomplished.
That is very true. Very true. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you.
Yeah, have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. You too. I got a text here from Mark. Mark says, depending on what country you're in, according to Google, you can build a bridge in 48 hours or in the U.S., 4 years. Mark, yeah, and I think we had a caller, too, that says, yeah, we have people in other countries that can build a bridge a lot faster. But I will say, because our caller later pointed out, the regulations, like everything that we have regulation-wise in place in Maryland, I mean, anybody can tell you, you know, it's a nightmare, right? Even trying to get silly permits for revitalizing a row house in Baltimore is a nightmare. I can imagine what it's like for the bridge. So I understand that piece of it. I do. I've got Bill at Owings Mills. Bill, you wanted to weigh in?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I just wanted to say, wasn't that very... entering my sarcastic mode, and pardon me if I sound a little bit cynical, but I don't mince words. Wasn't that a response? How responsible our governor is when he was on national news, and he deflected, I forget what words he said, but in the straight of... in spite of the statistics and the facts that other bridges, like the Bay Bridge, were vulnerable of collapsing, just like the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Wasn't that responsible when he just totally denied it of our governor? Doesn't he have our safety at heart? Isn't he such a fountain of responsibility and caring about our safety?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's him. That's the guy.
He is a real piece of work. And you know something? You just said it a while ago. You said it's all... I'm sure he would find a way, if you got right down to another guy, he would probably blame it on racism.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing surprises me ever that comes out of these incompetent boobs that run this state. And that's one of the biggest things that they use. With nothing else, let's blame it on something totally stupid, which has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And this guy wants to run for president. It wouldn't surprise me that he would, and he would probably win. Why? Based on nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and
look,
don't you love it when you're? I love that lady that talked about Einstein came up with the thing about using a fairy. She just said it all, and she's right. It sounds so believable what she said, and you know, they'll come up with excuse after excuse after excuse to avoid building this bridge, and most likely it's, all right, Marylanders, bend over and take it in the rear end. This is what's going to happen. It's going to cost you because it's all your fault that the bridge went down. They'll find some way to justify it rather than put it on the people that really goes to. Our wonderful governor has our interests at heart, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I love all you people that voted for him because you robbed me out of my money, but you don't give a crap about anybody else, especially safety.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill.
I'm sorry. That's just the way that news conference came off. I mean, Maryland is a laughing stock with this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he has no idea what he's doing.
None whatsoever. And that's why, Bill, that's why I believe he is very vulnerable. And I think he believes he's just going to get reelected here. And I don't see it happening. I don't.
You know, but you know what's scary is the blind, you know, it's true, the blind leading the helpless. The helpless will end up voting for him. And they'll come up with some god-awful reason to vote for him, that which has nothing to do with anything. What have these people ever done to make anything better? I mean, whatever happened to the idea, well, when you want to run for something based on merit, what did you do in your job that, you know, the exact thing they're using for people, which is good, but what are they don't apply it to themselves, do they? What did you do to make, to want to attain a better position, like President of the United States or Governor of Maryland or whatever? What did you do to accomplish this, or what have you done?
Right.
And you know, and if they keep buying the same old thing, this is why Maryland never gets anywhere with its backward policies.
Yeah, Bill, I agree 100%. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes,
I appreciate
sir.
You. Thank you so much. And you know, Bill is correct on that. And I said this a couple of days ago. Look, Congressman Kwaisi Fube, he beat me back in 2020. He's been there for 5 years. Name one thing Congressman Kwaisi Fube has accomplished in these 5 years. I'm going to go to break, and I'm going to come back. And if you can think of something, go ahead and call me, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and have you tried the over-the-counter products for your foot pain and nothing seems to work? If that's you, it's time to check out the Good Feet Store. Stop the pain that's stopping you. Visit goodfeet.com to book your appointment today, or just stop by the store nearest you.
Hi, Sean Casey here. Join WCBM for a fireside chat at our inaugural Pints and Politics Happy Hour. Mark your calendar for Wednesday, April 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Michael's Cafe in Timonium.
Congratulations!
Join me and a very special guest as we discuss Trump's first 100 days. Sponsored by Safe Retirement Solutions. Tickets are just $20 and include delicious light hors d'oeuvres and your own complimentary WCBM pint glass. Space is limited. Get your tickets today at WCBM.com.
Come in legally.
That's Pints and Politics, April 30th. At Michael's Cafe. See you there.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to pva.org. to learn how you can make a difference.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine, and also we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
This portion of the Kim Klasick Show is brought to you by the law offices of Michael A. Friedman, representing injury victims for over 30 years, on the web at maflaw.com.
All right. Nobody called me. No one can tell me what Congressman Placey and Fume has done in the last 5 years? Come on. He can name at least one thing, right? No, I can't either. I can't either. We're talking about the anniversary of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. And, of course, that happened 1 year ago today. And looking up at the screen here, I see you've got some Intel members in front of, it looks like, that's the House. Yes, that's not the Senate. That's the House now that you've got Intel members in front of the House. And that's actually Jasmine Crockett, the representative from Houston, or Dallas, Texas, I should say. She's now asking questions, so I'm sure we'll get lots of great sound from that for tomorrow. Now, real quick, I did want to play for you this viral clip, and we'll get back to the phone calls here. But this viral clip yesterday was of Representative Crockett, and she was at an event, and she was talking about the governor of Texas. And she was at this human rights event. And so I believe the human rights organization might have lost some donors for this, but I don't know. Take a listen.
Because we in these hot-ass Texas streets, honey. Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot-ass mess, honey. So yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Imagine that is a speaker at a human rights event. Yes, that is a sitting congresswoman, Representative Jasmine Crockett. I put a poll out on X yesterday, and I said, you know, I think Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she still calls herself Speaker, by the way. If you look at her Twitter handle, it still says Speaker Pelosi. But I think she's going to have to pull her aside, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, because she did so with AOC so many years ago, and AOC did tighten up afterwards. She's going to have to say something to this young lady. This is out of control. I mean, she's got Pam Bondi on her tail, right? She's saying all kinds of things and calling Governor Greg Abbott Governor Hot Wheels because he's in a wheelchair, mind you. I mean, not so nice to say, right? You wouldn't think that somebody would say that at a human rights event of all places. And the fact that the crowd was laughing and applauding, it really makes you wonder, who do we live around? Who are these people? I can't imagine. Well, anyways, Jasmine Crockett, she actually ended up putting out a statement because there were many people that were just appalled. And she wanted to clarify that she was not saying anything wrong. She was calling him Hot Wheels, I guess, because it's hot in Texas and he's, you know, the governor. And she even said that it's because, you know, he transported people. You know what? Let me get the exact, just give me a second here. Let me get her exact statement. She's got so many tweets here. Here it is. Here's what Jasmine Crocker had to say when people were criticizing her. She says, I wasn't thinking about the governor's condition. I was thinking about the planes, trains, and automobiles he used to transfer migrants into communities led by black mayors, deliberately stoking tension and fear among the most vulnerable. She said the most vulnerable, as if people with disabilities aren't really our most vulnerable, right? I mean, are you kidding? Then she goes, literally the next line I said was that he was a hot blank mess, which we heard, referencing his terrible policies. At no point did I mention or allude to his condition. So I'm even more appalled that the very people who unequivocally support Trump, a man known for racially insensitive nicknames and mocking those with disabilities, are now outraged. Now, she is correct. Remember when President Trump did mock individuals with disabilities at one of the rallies? A lot of people were upset about that. But that does not excuse you for saying that Governor Greg Abbott is Governor Hot Wheels. And so somebody actually pulled a post that she had previously where she mentioned his wheelchair before in a very concerning tone. So she was definitely mocking him. I know she's going to try to say otherwise. But even if you go beyond that, some of the things that she has said and posted, the fight between her and Nancy Mace, the fight between her and Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's now being charged, believe it or not. Somebody with Laura Loomer's camp had a cell phone on her yesterday as she's walking through the hill. And she actually took that person's phone, grabbed it out of their hands, it's ruined. So they went and filed a police report against Jasmine Crockett. And so now she's dealing with that as well. Nancy Pelosi's going to have to pull her aside. Somebody's going to have to do it. She's out of control, this one. Look, you know, I'm crazy, and even I'm appalled. When we get back, we'll continue our discussion about the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The Atlantic has released the entire signal chat among Trump's senior national security officials. It includes more details than many people believed were part of that text and chat. And the officials involved said that no serious details had been released, but it turns out that there were times mentioned for some of those attacks, and it did not cause any problems as the attack was successful against the Houthi rebels. Palestinians held a rare anti-Hamas protest. This one took place in Gaza, protesting against the terrorist group that controls that region with an iron fist and has led to this deadly war with Israel. The Dollar Tree is selling off the Family Dollar chain to a pair of private equity firms, the transaction worth about $1 billion. New orders for manufactured durable goods up in February. That was a second straight monthly increase. This is SRN News.
This is Pastor David Lewis at Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth. As a Christian pastor, I feel the need for some clarification is necessary. The title of reverend that we carry is to denote that we are members of the clergy. The root word revere means that our office is entitled to reverence because we are to represent Christ here on earth. While it's not my job to judge others, I am able to discern good fruit from bad and to call a spade a spade. And in that light, I wish people would stop referring to Al Sharpton as reverend. There's nothing reverent about him. He is a charlatan and an opportunist, a race hustler who puts his skin color ahead of his faith. He's certainly not representing the Lord. Instead of preaching the gospel of salvation as reverends are ordained to do, he preaches hate and divisiveness. And because he has the title of reverend, the rest of us get painted with the same broad brush. I pray that Mr. Sharpton would recognize his errors and seek the Lord's forgiveness. Imagine what a positive force a passionate man like him could be doing if he was on the right side. This is Pastor David Lewis at a Moment of Truth.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Expectations are high, yet at the same time somewhat muted for the 2025 Orioles. As Baltimore gears up for opening day tomorrow, Birds have made the playoffs in back-to-back seasons for the first time in 25 years, but have failed to win a playoff game. Zach Eflin takes the hill tomorrow for Baltimore at 3:07 p.m. Roster needs to be set by 12 noon today.
Head football coach Mike Locksley addressed the media gathered in College Park yesterday for the start of Maryland spring football. Locksley was asked about Kevin Willard's public comments last week concerning the split of NIL money at Maryland.
I've learned in 33 years of coaching, there are no utopias. Every family has their issues and their dirty little secrets, but I'm of the opinion those are handled individually, handled behind closed doors within family ranks.
Bam! And on that note, how about this? Derek Queen's comments when asked why he and the team listen to and respect Willard in the first place.
He do pay us the money. And then so we got to listen to him.
Show me the money. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Ravens bolster their defense. And that is Stein on Sports.
Hi, Rod Barrowy here. God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. God bless all the listeners here at WCBM. Well, looky here. Gas prices are down. Egg prices are down. And oops, the stock market's down too. How would you like to never worry about market volatility in your retirement? You want some growth when the market's up, but no loss when the market's down. Call the Safe Retirement Solutions team at 410-266-1120. That's 410-266-1120.
This is a little bit more March-like. Cooler weather today. After today, the temperatures steadily warm back up the rest of the week. Will turn out sunny. 54 the high today. Temperatures tonight dropping into the low to mid-30s. Tomorrow, sunny and mild. 60 the high. Friday, we might see a shower or two. Not much rain. 66 Friday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What if I can guarantee the price of Bitcoin will be $1 million in 2030? Well, I can't, but I can guarantee you, you'll save a lot of money on blinds at my company, Blindster.com. Free samples, free shipping, and guaranteed to fit. Shop at Blindster.com today.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from their professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
It was 1980-something.
All right, we're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Pretty much the conversation all day today, and I'm fine with it. We're on the one-year anniversary. I'm glad that all of you have been calling in. I've got Bob in Kingsville. Bob, you wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, hi. How are you, darling?
Good.
You know what would happen if that bridge goes down? We need to fix the approaches to that bridge. They tell me that somebody had on the news that the new boats or ships that carry those containers is going to be twice as big as the one they got now to go through there.
Oh, really?
Yes. And the other thing, the real important thing is that bridge services the people of Anne Arundel County in Washington, D.C., not the people of the northern part of the state. We need to build a bridge, what they talked about for a long time, up at Colonel Martin Airport that goes across and sits on Poole Island and ends up south at Chestertown on the other side. The approach is already there. Route 43 is in. The roads are in. All we got to do is build a bridge. But we need somebody in the Annapolis running the show down there. We don't have a governor, so I doubt that that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, no, I doubt that, because I live right over there. So you're talking about taking a bridge from Martin State Airport, that water that's right there by Bowley's on the Bay and all that, and then taking it all the way down to, you want to go all the way out?
It goes across, and it was originally talked about designing that on the other side, on the eastern shore side, it ends up slightly below Chestertown and ends up on Route 13. So all the main roads are in. And it'll service all the people up north.
Well, Bob, I can tell you that, look, it sounds great, but taking a bridge from Martin State Airport to Chestertown, I don't think we will ever have that kind of money. I don't see that happening.
We can support illegals in hotels at $400 a day. We can't afford to give us a bridge.
No, that's true too. That's true too, Bob. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great week. Look, it is a harsh reality, but I live right there. I couldn't imagine going on a bridge from where I live all the way to Chestertown. I mean, look, it is a heck of a hike. If you could give me a straight shot, that would be nice. I got Tariq in Ellicott City. Tariq, how are you?
Hi, this is Tariq.
How are you?
Yes, fine. Thank you. I haven't been able to listen to the whole show this morning. However, there is one point that should be made if it hasn't been made already. You're comparing the construction of the bridge, which was completed in 1977, is that correct?
Correct.
To the current disaster. The current disaster does not require the construction of the whole bridge. It's just the middle section. Therefore, it should take less time than what was done in 1977. 1977, they had to start from point zero. There was no pre-existing structure, pylons, and so on. Here, it's just part of the original structure. Has anyone made that point this morning?
They have not made that point. I appreciate you making that point. I was wondering if that was part of the blueprint there. Are they going to keep the existing structure?
So they're not. I don't believe they're going to knock down the whole thing. It wasn't all damaged by the collision. They're certainly going to keep the part on the east and the part on the west, north and south. I'm not sure how it goes. But it's a smaller construction job than what was originally done.
Yeah.
So that has to be kept in mind.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a great point. I have not seen the blueprint. So I have no idea if they're going to keep it, and I haven't seen any reports. But that's a great question to ask, for sure.
So that was my 2 cents for today.
No, that was more than 2 cents. We like it. Thank you so much for calling in.
That wild lady from Houston, what's her name, Jasmine something or other?
Yeah, yes, Jasmine Crockett.
Why do these people have such a foul mouth? I mean, if you want to be a liberal, fine, be a liberal. But don't be a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
There are problems with children listening to such verbiage.
Yeah, There's
some of us who try to aspire to live outside the gutter, and she brings everybody down.
I mean, it is tough, definitely for a sitting member of Congress, for sure. Thank you so much, Tariq. I appreciate your time. Hope you have a great week.
Bye.
Thank you. I mean, it is shocking to hear a sitting member of Congress. I mean, every time she gives a speech, it never fails. She curses every single time. So now I'm at the point where I believe she's just trying to outdo herself every time. Do you know what I mean? I guess that's what it comes down to. My friend, Senator Bullwether, in the text line, he says, Kim, Congressman Kwaisi Fume has accomplished at least two things, collecting a paycheck and probably became pension eligible. Senator Bullworth, you are correct on that. Those are two things he's accomplished. Go back to the phone lines here. I've got Brent in Parkville. Hey, Brent.
If you would like to make a call.
Oh, Brent is not there. Let's see. We'll go to the next call here. I've got John in Bel Air. John, you wanted to weigh in on Representative Crockett?
Yeah, I think everybody's familiar with the concept of clickbait. When you're perusing news sites, they throw up a headline, anything to get you to click through to the body of the piece. What Jasmine Crockett is doing is following the lead. Really, AOC kind of pioneered this. It doesn't matter what you say, how ludicrous, how outrageous. You've got to get on the show. You've got to provide soundbite bait, bite bait. And that way you get on the news programs, your name and your face become more familiar. Then you can moderate. But first and foremost, you have to familiarize the audience with you. And this is possible nowadays, because we have, over the last 30 or 40 years, experienced the death of shame in our culture. There was a time when saying outrageous things, profane things from a position of power would get you disqualified. You would never have any credibility again. Well, we've lived way past that. I mean, Bill Clinton is a Democrat Party elder, and it's almost certain he's guilty of sexual assault and perhaps rape. AOC went down to the border and was crying for the immigrants at the wall when it was just a stage shot. There were no immigrants there. That's the sort of thing that would have gotten you DQ'd years ago. And now all it does is put you on the map, and that's where we are.
Yeah, yep. And I don't think it's going to change, unfortunately, because the media does whatever the ratings come in. So it's unfortunate.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you for pointing that out. I did want to go back to the poll. If you haven't already, go to WCBM.com. The poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Are you satisfied with the timeline for the Key Bridge rebuild? Again, we're not supposed to see that bridge erected until 2028. 94% of you say no. 6% of you say yes. We did have a caller that weighed in. He explained that it most likely will take that time. And I did not consider all the regulations. Silly me. But the caller is right. We do have, I'm sure everybody has a bunch of hoops to jump through. But, you know, I would say that, you know, because of the unions and others, and some people try to, you know, shovel that money elsewhere. I think that's where we also get a lot of time added on. Also, I wanted to correct the record. I didn't know exactly who was before this congressional committee, but it is a subcommittee, and it is NPR testifying before the subcommittee, and it's a DOGE subcommittee. So right now you got Representative Tim Burchett out of Tennessee. He's speaking, and that's where I could see Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. She was speaking, and she was literally, her fingers were waving and everything else. So I can only imagine we will definitely, most likely, play some of the sound tomorrow on what she had to say there. Again, we're talking about the anniversary of the Key Bridge and the fact that it collapsed 1 year ago. We lost six lives that day. I've got Tom in Bel Air. Tom, you wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, I wanted to say a call or two ago, talk about just putting the bridge back up with the part of the bridge that is still standing. The new plans call for all the old part of the bridge to be torn down. That's going to start in the fall, I believe, and then built from square one, because they're planning on building a much taller bridge to allow bigger ships to come in. So I just wanted to correct that a little bit.
Well, Tom, I appreciate that. And I got a text here from Bob. He says, Bob and Glenn Barney says, the existing remaining bridge structure is 48 years old. So that's another reason why you got to replace it. But you're right. They are going to make it much taller. So I appreciate you letting us know, because I have not seen the plans. Have you seen the entire blueprint?
I have not, but okay. I did hear it on the news. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll keep searching for it. Thank you, Tom, so much.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've got, let's see. This is a Brent in Park. Oh, because we didn't get him before. Brent in Parkville. Brent, are you there?
Hey, Kim, I'm here. Sorry that I had to drop off.
No worries.
And what I find crazy about the whole bridge situation is a year later, we still don't know the names of those two pilots that, to me, didn't do their jobs too well and should have taken it back to port or ordered tugs, because if they got it through that span safely, what were they going to do as they were stepping off the ship, tell them good luck with the Bay Bridge with your faulty ship?
Yeah.
Like it just, and I'm thinking, did the maritime, whoever controls their licensing, were they even put on censure or probation or anything? Or was it just business as usual for those two gentlemen, which I think is crazy because six people died.
Right.
And they just seem to have no liability. We don't even know their names. And who knows? It's just crazy to me. And that they're just, to me, that we're to believe that they have no liability, that it's all the dolly, the ship owner's fault. And whereas I don't buy that for an instant. I believe that they both share responsibility.
No, I do agree.
Yeah, and I love the Jasmine Crocketts of the world. I love the way she's on all the news shows, because how, with the midterms coming up, what a farmer in Iowa is going to think of a party with her as their representative. He's just going to hopefully vote R, and all his friends will vote R, and hopefully we'll turn some seats in the midterms.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Brett, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right.
A great point.
You're welcome, my dear. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you so much. And those are good points. We haven't really found out anything about the crew at all. Remember, they were sitting on the ship. I'm trying to think of how long they were sitting on that ship. It was quite some time. And I had some friends that said they actually saw them taking them off the ship, going back and forth to Walmart. because they needed items as they were still on the ship and they were being interviewed. And yes, we haven't seen the results of any of those interviews or investigations. And, you know, possibly because this is all still has to go to court and be litigated, maybe. Maybe that's why it's not, you know, privy to us at this point. I don't know. But those are great questions. And you know what? Look at us. A year later, and we really don't have any answers. Brian, the producer, do you have answers over there? No? We really don't. We really don't. And that's another sad part of it. And as Brent mentioned, six people lost their lives. I've got Tom in Pasadena. Tom, you wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, Kim, hi. Thank you so much. And by the way, praise to you. You're awesome, awesome at what you do. And I'm so glad we got somebody in here that is great as you are. So I'm going to give you kudos for that.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, you've got so much common sense. It's crazy. I totally admire you. I just want to talk about the bridge real quick. Like, for instance, I just want to give a scenario. This is definitely a Pandora's box, right? We know that. There's so many unanswered questions. But here's to make it elementary speaking. Like, if I'm driving down a road and I crash into a median strip, basically, or hit a telephone pole or whatever, I got to purchase that pole or I got to pay to have that median strip repaired. That comes out of my insurance, whatever. Basically, I'm responsible for it. So why are the taxpayers paying for a bridge that we did not break? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's answers, yes, that need to be made, and they're not. So I just don't get how the taxpayer is just kind of like, okay, I guess it's like they've been brainwashed or they're indoctrinated or whatever. I don't know. It just keeps allowing this to happen.
Right.
I just don't get it. But that's what basically all I got to say, and thank you so much.
No, thank you, Tom. Great point. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great week. I mean, look, you know, none of this really makes sense. And as I noted earlier, you could go to whether it's the New York Post, you know, ABC News, what have you. You know, everyone's talking about the one-year anniversary of the bridge collapse. But if you go through each article, you're not learning anything new. Right? It's a year later. We don't have any other information except for the fact that, you know, the state of Maryland still hasn't even checked out the Bay Bridge to make sure it also doesn't collapse. That's all we've gotten so far. And I still continue to look for the blueprint. I don't see it. But you know what? They just got it, right? What was that? February 2025, they said? I'm sure there's going to be some changes made. So I'm going to be patient on that one. I did want to share the story with you because we were talking about the budget, obviously, in Annapolis. There's so much going on. But as I mentioned yesterday, you know, Maryland Matters had the story. There's going to be a lot of cases of sexual abuse that's going to be settled in the state of Maryland that could put us more in the hole. And I say this because, unfortunately, you have people that were sexually assaulted at one point in time. I see a lot of cases coming from, it looks like, the early 90s. And with an act that was passed the last session, individuals are allowed to come forward with their stories. There was a priest recently charged that once worked at St. Agnes between 1991 and 1994. He walked away from priesthood in 2004. But I wanted to just play this soundbite for you because this is, again, one of those cases. We're still staring at more budget woes in the future. Take a listen.
Citing concerns, the judge said she's going to continue to hold the defendant without bail. However, she's going to make him available eventually to get home detention through the Baltimore County Jail.
What do you make of the allegations?
They're not true.
Allegations denied by the wife of 62-year-old William Mannion, the former Catholic priest accused of being a predator priest during his stint at St. Agnes in Catonsville in the early 90s. The alleged victim was a 7-year-old altar boy and second grader at St. Agnes Catholic School when the abuse began in September 1991, and it continued through fourth grade. It always happened in the monastery, the now 40-year-old man told police. Mannion would use puppets from his religious education classes during the abuse in a sick puppet show and threatened if he told anyone, the boy's parents and little brother would be condemned to hell. The defense attorney today told the judge his client has a tremendous education and a full-time job as a mental health nurse at Johns Hopkins Bayview, where he sees adult patients only. Also said he's cooperated with police for more than a year and even turned himself in yesterday.
It is notable because it deals with the risk of flight.
And in this particular case, the risk of flight was subminimal.
We asked Mannion's lawyer why he made no mention today that his client is credited with helping to take down infamous parochial school teacher and convicted child rapist John Merzbacher.
I didn't think it was relevant today. At some point in the future, it may be relevant.
The state says it fears there may be more victims. The Archdiocese of Baltimore has urged anybody who has any knowledge of any child sexual abuse to contact law enforcement and the Archdiocese. In Towson, I'm Kate Amara, TV 11 News.
All right, so that is one of those cases. And as you heard there, William Moynihan, I hope I'm saying that correctly, he turned himself in. And he's hoping to be released on home detention. Now, the person that is accusing him of this sexual assault, they are 40 years old now and 7 years old at the time. And I would think that that kind of trauma would be hard to forget, right? I don't know if this person is innocent or guilty, but I would think this has got to be tough to litigate. I mean, because now it's this victim's word against this priest's or former priest's word, right? How do you go about peeling back this onion? I don't know how this works out. But there are many elected officials in Annapolis saying that this could end up costing the state, because the state will pay out for these cases, costing the state billions more. We'll continue to watch and see what happens there. Of course, if anybody is a victim of sexual assault, I do hope that they get justice. I don't think that I'm against this in any way because it's expensive. That is not what I'm saying. When we get back, I did want to just play a little bit of sound for you. There's a sheriff in Polk County. I wish he was here in the Baltimore region. I'll explain when we get back.
Are you looking for a way to boost energy, support your heart, and age with grace? Well, it's time to check out Oracine from Rescue Natural Supplements. Oracine provides essentials our bodies need to naturally combat fatigue and increase stamina without the high sugar, caffeine, and unhealthy ingredients common in superficial energy sources. Plus, Rescue Orsine supports healthy blood pressure and cardio function too. Now for a limited time, our radio listeners can take advantage of a special buy one, get one free on Rescue Orsine. Just use the code FUEL when ordering to get this exclusive deal. Call today, 1-800-26-ALIVE, that's 1-800-262-5483, and speak to a knowledgeable product consultant, or use the code FUEL online at res-q.com. That's res-q.com. Remember, the code FUEL, F-U-E-L, to buy one Oracine, get another free. Go to res-q.com now. Stay fueled and fit with Rescue Oracine.
Looking for affordable blinds, shades, or shutters for your home? Don't hire an expensive pro. Check out Blindster.com, where they offer custom-made window coverings at guaranteed low prices with a team of pros ready to help you every step of the way. Blindster.com.
This is Danny Manoff from Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. Join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock for Justice and Why It Matters to You, our new show to help individuals understand how the legal system works. Look forward to seeing you there.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Wednesday on the show, Jasmine Crockett steps in it again, which begs the question, how does feces step in feces? Democrats do another face plant with a fake scandal to get shot down in a heartbeat.
Wah, wah. The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, I think we had a good show today. I really appreciate everybody weighing in. I talked a lot about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Talked a little about the budget in Annapolis and our Republicans fighting for us taxpayers. Again, thank you, Delegate Nino Mangione and Delegate Brian Chisholm. For keeping me updated here as much as possible. I know it's difficult, and I appreciate all of those that are voting no against this ridiculous budget. We've got more, I'm sure, to talk about tomorrow in regards. Text here from Robert says, Kim, one thing I haven't heard yet, and I think everyone would love to hear it, and that is the firsthand testimony from the two survivors of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. I thought it would have come out already, but I have not seen them. I'm sure they could both make a lot of money with it. Anyway, have a great day. Yeah, Robert, from my understanding, one individual I don't think speaks English. I bet Marty could correct me on that one. But I believe one can and one cannot. But yes, you're right. We have not seen their testimony or any interviews in regards since this year has passed. So I will look and see if there's anything. Real quick, Sheriff in Polk County, Grady Judd, listen to how he handles carjacking.
Sheriff, you're not allowed to use deadly force for a property crime. Why do you say he would have been justified in doing it?
First off, he tried a carjacking with a lady. And then he was doing a burglary of a vehicle. And he was in the string of a group of felonies at the time. When you start trying to carjack somebody's car at a gas station, you're subject to get shot and shot a lot.
Did he have a weapon?
She didn't have to have a weapon, brother. You can carjack with just pure violence and force.
You don't think that's a dangerous message you're putting out?
That is an absolute correct message I'm putting out to Polk County citizens. You try to break into somebody's car and steal it while they're there with it, that's called armed carjacking.
Some attorneys would disagree with you, but you're the sheriff, so.
If you come to this county and if you use extreme violence to try to carjack somebody from their car, if you get shot, that's on you.
Oh, I love it. That sheriff's in Polk County, and his name is Sheriff Grady Judd. I am determined to find the sheriff and have him on the show as a guest. Could you imagine if we had him in Maryland? Oh, the way they treat carjackings around here, I absolutely hate it. I despise it. And yet, here we are talking about the budget in Annapolis. They still haven't dealt with the juvenile crime. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, we get back tomorrow. I'll tell you about my visit at the White House for today's Women's History event. It's supposed to be an announcement about defunding Planned Parenthood. And so, of course, we'll talk about what's going on in Annapolis. I hope that you all have a great day. As always, Brian, thank you for a great show. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? Yikes. When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular.